This is Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments today in a case that will determine whether the Trump administration can add a citizenship question to the 2020 U.S. Census. The Census Bureau itself estimates that millions of people would not respond to the census if asked about their citizenship status. Opponents of the question say many non-citizens fear they could be targeted by immigration authorities. Critics also say an inaccurate tally could throw off voting districts. But the Trump administration contends that it could enforce the Voting Rights Act better if it were able to pose the citizenship question. William Galvin serves as Massachusetts census liaison in his role as Secretary of State. We spoke with him as the Supreme Court adjourned this afternoon and also caught up with WBUR senior news correspondent Kimberly Atkins, who was in the room for oral arguments and gave us her take.
The top line is essentially is that it looks like it's going to be a 5-4 decision in favor of the Trump administration on this question of whether a citizenship question will be included on the census. It's rare that you get a pretty clear picture in an oral argument about how the result will be, but this was one of those rare days. The Trump administration is arguing that they need this citizenship question to help them better enforce laws like the Voting Rights Act, and that the question about citizenship has been on past census, either on the short form or on supplemental forms, for most of the last 100 years or more. But challengers, including the state of Massachusetts, are saying, no, this is a pretextual reason. The real reason, in violation of both federal law and the Constitution, is an effort to create an undercount of folks who are either non-citizens. Remember that the census is supposed to count everyone, regardless of citizenship status. And also some citizens who may fear that responding might out some of their family members who may have non-citizenship status in their households. And so that's the basis of the challenge.
So, Secretary Galvin, what's your reaction as you hear that report from Kimberly Atkins? You know, she's saying that a 5-4 decision looks pretty clear. And as she noted, that's kind of rare. I mean, oftentimes the justices try to, you know, keep their views close to the vest, maybe ask rhetorical questions. How do you feel looking like the Trump administration is going to win?
Well, we've always been concerned about it. Even if the question were not on the form, we would still have a fair degree of fear amongst immigrants, and including legal immigrants, I might add, because of the behavior and the rhetoric of this administration. With regard to the decision itself, I read some of the reviews. There's always some question, it seems to me, about Chief Justice Roberts. He finds technical reasons at the last minute to go in a different direction from what he suggested, although based on what he said today, it would seem he's in that camp. Also, Justice Kavanaugh seems to be a little less obvious. The three cheerleaders for the administration on the court, of course, tried to block the case from being heard altogether, so it's obvious where they are. I was particularly struck by Judge Sotomayor's questioning because she called it as it is. This is a pretext. This is clearly, as she suggested, a solution in search of a problem, because there is no problem. This is a political effort that's going to lead to potentially to a less than accurate count. For us here in Massachusetts, it's a very critical issue because of our 6.9 million persons who are here. By every estimate, over a million of those persons are non-native born. In fact, our growth in population has been fueled by international immigration, and we have to make sure these folks are counted. We're gearing up right now to do that. It's going to be very challenging. We know that, but we certainly intend to make sure we're not shortchanged if it's at all possible.
Secretary Galvin, what would be the implications, in your view, of adding a citizenship question to the census?
Well, the implication is obvious. I mean, it's not the question itself. It's the implication of what it has. First of all, minimally, it presents confusion because the law is clear. Every person has to be counted, every person. And that has been always the way. So even for those who are legally here, who are non-citizens, there is a question, well, I'm a citizen of another country. Why should I be counted? Clearly, in light of what has been the atmosphere created by this administration, which has been extremely hostile to immigrants, not just rhetorically, but in terms of actions, arrests, detentions, there would be a reason for persons who are not legally here, and even persons who are legally here, or family members who are perhaps not here, to be reluctant to answer. There's also a fear that this information is going to be shared, even though the federal law requires it not be shared. This has been an effort to weaponize the citizenship question because it fits into the overall rhetoric of this administration. It pleases their base, and it attacks people who are being put in fear. The concern for us is obviously accuracy. This is about accuracy. We want an honest count, we want an accurate count. And to the extent that this question impinges on our ability to do that, it's a concern.
By some estimates, 6.5 million people might not be counted if the government were to include a citizenship question.
What's interesting is it's not some estimate. It's the Bureau itself's estimate. That's the Federal Census Bureau that's actually charged with it. They said this. The Bureau itself, the bureaucracy, is against it. That only points to the fact, and the one thing this case has done, it's clearly established in the record that this was contrived, that Mr. Ross was dishonest consistently. He was led on to this position by political people who are clearly very partisan. This is not a good faith error on behalf of a bureaucracy. This was a political decision. There's no question about that. That doesn't change the facts, but it is the fact.
Kimberly Atkins, I'm hoping you can help us understand why an undercount could be forecast, because as the secretary mentioned a moment ago, in theory, this is data that should be sequestered, right? I mean, individual responses to census questions are not supposed to be shared with other federal agencies. But we do know that census data was abused in the 1940s to round up Japanese Americans and put them in internment camps. So there's some precedent for it. And if you say, well, that's a long time ago, it doesn't really apply. I'm reminded, and Kimberly, you probably remember this episode from the campaign, when Donald Trump was the front runner in 2015 and was asked by Time magazine about the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II, he said, quote, "I would have had to be there at the time to tell you to give a proper answer whether he would support it." He said, "I certainly hate the concept of it, but I would have had to be there at the time to give you a proper answer." I mean, is that really sort of what's driving the fear here, Kimberly?
Yes, and that was one of the points that Justice Sotomayor, which the secretary was very right in saying, she was the most vocal justice on the bench today. She is, of course, the only Latina justice on the bench, and she was essentially casting doubt on the idea that there might be other reasons for an undercount, that this is really about voting rights and the government's attempt to say that there won't be a problem resulting from this, that it will actually be more accurate and not less. She said, is it really, she challenged the Solicitor General and said, are you really here saying that there's not a real reason why Hispanics in particular will be less likely to respond to this? Do you think they're just boycotting for no reason? I'm paraphrasing her. Or do you think that there is a legitimate fear that they will have that engaging in responding to this form, engaging in the government in this way, might put them in peril? So that is a central part of this. And what is at stake is not just the ability of the government to count everyone, but both the census is the basis for drawing both state and congressional voting districts. And it's also the basis of a lot of federal funding.
And Kimberly, I know that you've also spoken with our Attorney General Maura Healey about this subject. What have you been hearing from her?
Yeah, she made those very points. She said that this is, it's really three points. One, it's about counting every vote. Two, it's about those congressional districts that really can affect political power. But she also talked about the billions of dollars in federal funding that are used to support various projects in Massachusetts, the importance of that state funding. Let's listen.
There are billions of dollars in federal funding that are used to support education, health care, housing opportunities, so many programs here in Massachusetts and elsewhere.
And so it's really going to impact states like Massachusetts, like New York, which is the lead state, the plaintiff in this case, places where there are large numbers of immigrant families, mixed citizenship families. They're really a fear that this could result in dramatic cuts in federal funding, as well as congressional districts and state districts that are drawn in a way to reduce the power of the places where we find a large number of immigrants.
But Secretary Galvin, I mean, what about the administration's argument that, you know what, we just need to have this information about how many citizens and non-citizens we have in the country? We heard government lawyers make the argument today that you're always kind of making that trade-off between information and accuracy, and perhaps the two sides are just weighing those two competing interests a little bit differently. How do you respond to that case?
Well, I think the response is based upon the record of this administration. They've weaponized immigration as an issue politically. They've vilified non-citizens constantly. So the idea that this is sort of a neutral question that just happened to find its way onto the census is disproven by the record. I think, as I said earlier, the record here from the lower court made it very clear that Mr. Ross attempted to deceive both the Congress and obviously everybody else involved in this case by putting out there that he was only doing this at the behest of the Justice Department. It's clear he was doing this before he even went to the Justice Department. He sought the Justice Department as a justification for what he was already doing. But the point is, it's not the question, it's the impact of the question. It's about accuracy. That's the issue. If you really care about accuracy, you wouldn't put this question there. There's no benefit to be gained here that outweighs risking the accuracy of the census.
Kimberly Atkins, what seemed to be the argument that was most persuasive to those conservative justices that you sense are perhaps leaning toward the administration? You've mentioned a few of the arguments, but what was kind of the home run?
The challengers have to prove that the decision to put this question on the census was arbitrary and capricious. And that is, legally speaking, a fairly low hurdle. And it seemed to me that from the response of the more conservative justices, Chief Justice Roberts, Justice Alito and Kavanaugh, Justice Thomas doesn't really speak very often in oral arguments, and he didn't say anything today, but his position has been fairly clear, that the government met that burden, that they cleared that hurdle by giving this reason for both the fact that they think that this will create a more accurate count, and also that they need this information to better administer the Voting Rights Act. And so it seemed that the challengers did not make it, despite the advocacy, really, from Justice Sotomayor and some of the other democratically appointed justices trying to help show that this really was a pretextual reason. They really doubted the reason given by the government.
Secretary Galvin, it's been seven decades, I know, but it is not unprecedented for a citizenship question to be on the census. It was on there in 1950. Is there something different about the way that it was handled then versus now that troubles you, or was it always a mistake to include a citizenship question on the census?
Well, I obviously wasn't a participant in the census in 1950. I was around, but wasn't a participant, so I can't. But I think everybody now in the current atmosphere knows that the whole issue of immigration has been politicized. It's a regular feature of this administration. The vilification, the threat presented constantly as a real imminent threat, the declarations of emergency, all of that, and it's all an effort to inspire support among the Trump base. But beyond the rhetoric, the actions taken to separate families, to arrest and retain people in custody who have committed no crime. We're not talking about criminals now. We're talking about people who have simply tried to update their green card or something like that. There's been ample cases documented over the last couple of years. Clearly, the atmosphere they've created has been one of fear, and it's been deliberate. So in that sense, they've made this otherwise potentially innocuous question, which might still have created some confusion, even if it were a different atmosphere. They've made it much different. It has a much different implication. And it's pretty obvious that their desperation to include this is not based upon some desire for statistical accuracy, because they're not interested in accuracy. They're interested in politicizing the census.
Last thing, Kimberly Atkins, I'm wondering where we go from here. Obviously, we await a final decision, but politically, you know, what are the ramifications? I mean, does the census question become a leading issue in the presidential race? Is it a reminder to voters of the importance of the presidency because they get to pick Supreme Court justices? What else are we looking for now?
I think it's certainly going to be an issue in 2020. I mean, the reason that the court took this case up fairly quickly is that the census forms need to be printed in a couple of months in order to get out in time. And so I think you will see both an information public awareness campaign to try to encourage people to participate in the census, encourage the government not to use any information for a nefarious purpose so that people can participate. And this is certainly going to be, I'm sure you'll hear all of the Democratic candidates for president use this as a point on immigration, as well as hear the president, who thinks that immigration is one of his best issues, and exit polling from 2016 bears that out, use this point as well.
That's WBUR senior news correspondent Kimberly Atkins in Washington, where the Supreme Court heard arguments today about a citizenship question on the 2020 census. Kimberly, thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Our thanks also to Massachusetts Secretary of State William Galvin.
Thank you again.
Stay with us. Coming up, should the Boston Marathon bomber be allowed to vote? We'll take your calls. I'm Callum Borchers. This is Radio Boston.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.